The Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument, a 583,000 square mile area around the northwestern Hawaiian Islands, is the world's second largest wildlife refuge, and few people are allowed to travel there. Civil Beat has been able to send a project team there for a comprehensive look at what it calls the last wild place, and Nathan Eagle has the details in today's reality check. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
What an adventure this must have been.
It was quite the adventure indeed, yeah.
I dare say. How long did it take?
We were gone about 2 weeks, but, you know, just applying for the permit started, you know, 8-9 months before that. So
sure.
it was the bulk of 2017, it felt like.
Sure. What stands out? I mean, there are a great many impressions that you brought home, I'm sure, but what stands out in your mind?
Oh, my goodness, so many things. It's the way the wildlife interacts with you, for instance. It's a red-footed booby, for instance, landing on my head while we're walking around looking at the marine debris.
Uh-huh.
Two kind of overwhelming things at the same time happening. It's also the preparations that went into it, having to freeze two sets of clothing to get on to Kiri Atoll and Laysan Island because they're quarantine islands.
There's an irony there, Nathan, because, as you say, there's a great deal of care has been taken to preserve the islands as they are now, but yet that involves a great deal of marine debris. There are many of the depredations of man in spite of the fact that people have their access restricted.
It's absolutely true, and it's heartbreaking to go to such a remote place. I mean, there's literally a 200-mile perimeter barrier, in a sense, that humans can't access, and yet come across these beaches that are just completely littered with fishing buoys and car seats and lighters, toothbrushes. We saw it all, basically, and you see endangered animals like the monk seal snuggled up to some of these items, and again, such a remote place.
How did it get there?
They think, you know, just the currents naturally carry this kind of thing through. Some of it came ashore in bulk after the tsunami in Japan, but much of it has come since then.
This your story comes out on a day when we are just had an announcement from the federal government about cutting back on a Utah national park. Is this protected area safe from being, you know, having its protected status reversed?
I wouldn't call it safe, but for now it is off of the radar as best we can tell from President Trump. It wasn't in the memo that Secretary Zinke had sent over, unlike, for instance, the Pacific Remote Islands monument, which did have some suggestions on how to reform, like allowing commercial fishing, for instance.
What was your day like on this project? You were on board. What vessel were you traveling on?
We were on an old freight ship, about 180-foot kind of rusty freight ship that took us. So it was myself, my wife / videographer, Alana Eagle, who's actually an HPR Generation Listen board member. And then there was a Curie crew of 6 or 7 folks who we were taking out. They were kind of swapping that crew out with another crew that had been there 6 months. They do kind of 6-month rotations. And then a couple of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service folks, and that was it.
One of the things that will be difficult for us to convey on the radio is the sheer spectacular visuals that you folks brought back. But I'm looking at some of your shots of the Marrow Reef, and really quite spectacular, yeah?
Yeah, it's just you point the camera almost in any direction and you're bound to come up with something good.
I imagine. Well, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Every day we bring you a reality check from Civil Beat, today featuring reporter Nathan Eagle.